Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Hey. We left off on the bottom of daf Kuf Dalid Amid Beis. We started to discuss yesterday the idea of washing out the mouth in between eating milchiks and eating fleishiks. All right, so we had these. So we're two lines from the bottom now. We're going to discuss that in much greater detail today. Two lines from the bottom, Kuf Dalid Amid Beis. Tanya Beishamei Yomer Mekaneach Beishil Yomer Madiach. So how does one clean off in between eating milchiks and fleishiks? So Beishamei says you have to be Mekaneach. And Beis Hillel says you have to be Madiach. So my Mekaneach, my Madiach, what do these words mean? What is Mekaneach and Madiach, and what are they arguing about exactly? The Gemara has three possibilities. First two rejects. First possibility, Ilema Beis Shammai or Mekaneach v'lo bay Madiach. If you're going to say Beis Shammai holds that you have to wash out your mouth, but you don't need to rinse with water, you just need to clean out the mouth, but not to actually use water. Now the assumption Rashi says is that water is a less effective way of washing out than using a solid. So Beis Shammai is saying that you only need to use a solid, you don't need to use the water also. Beis Hillel Madiach v'lo be Mekaneach, and Beis Hillel says no, that you use water and we don't even mention the idea of washing out with a solid. So Ela Hada Amar Rabbi Zeira Ein Kinuach Pas Ela Bepas Kaman Ke Beis Shammai. But then when Rabbi Zeira said that the only way to clean out the mouth is by using bread, meaning by using a solid, well, that would be going like Beis Shammai, and that's a problem because generally speaking we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So says the Gemara, second possibility what the machlokas is about. Ela Beis Shammai Omrim Mekaneach V'lo Bayi Madiach. Beis Shammai says you only need to do kinuach, you don't need to do Madiach B'mayim, you only need to use a solid, you don't need to use a liquid. U'Beis Hillel Omrim Af Madiach, and Beis Hillel says no, you need to do both. Vavle Mekule Beis Shammai U'Mechumre Beis Hillel, and this is a chumra of Beis Hillel because Beis Hillel requires doing kinuach and hadacha, using a solid and a liquid, whereas Beis Shammai doesn't. So frak the Gemara, but if that's the case, v'lisniya gabe kule Beis Shammai v'chumre Beis Hillel, then this should be mentioned on the list in Maseches Idios of the kulas of Beis Shammai and the chumras of Beis Hillel, but it doesn't get mentioned there. So while that might be good for Rabbi Zeira paskening that you need to do kinuach with pas, but it's not going to work in terms of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what we know about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in general in Shas. So says the Gemara, third and final possibility, Ela Beis Shammai Yomer Mekaneach V'hu Adin L'Madiach U'Beis Hillel Madiach V'hu Adin L'Mekaneach. Beis Shammai says you have to be Madiach and also V'hu Adin, Rashi says Ditravayu Be'inan, means you need to do both, that you have to do, Beis Shammai mentions Mekaneach, but he holds you have to do Madiach also. Beis Hillel says, mentions Madiach, but he also holds you need to be Mekaneach. Mara Merchada. Each one just identified a different thing that you have to do, but V'lo Pligi, they don't argue, and that is in fact the halacha that we do Kinuach and Hadacha in between eating, that's the Shulchan Aruch passing, in between eating milchiks and fleishiks. They eat a solid and you have a liquid as well. Gufa, Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira said, "Ein kinuach hapeh ela bepas." Rabbi Zeira had said that the only way to wash out the mouth is with bread. V'hani mili b'dechiti. That's only with wheat bread. Aval b'desari lo. But with barley bread, it's not going to clean out the mouth well enough because Rashi says barley bread breaks into crumbs very easily inside the mouth, and the whole idea of the kinuach is that it remains a little bit stuck together so that it could pick up the shamnunis. It could pick up a little bit of the flavor and the grease or whatever's left over from the cheese that you ate. So barley bread will not do that. Udechiti nami lo arman ela bekarira av b'chamima mishtar shatri. And even wheat bread, only if it's cold it works. But if it's hot, then it's going to become too soft and it's going to attach to the side of your mouth, and it's not going to do the job of cleaning out the mouth properly. V'hanimili b'rechicha avul ba'akusha lo. And even when we say that wheat bread is good, it has to be soft wheat bread. But if it's hard, where it's going to become crumbly, it's going to be like a crouton or something, where it's crumbly in the mouth, or it's like toast, where it crumbles in the mouth, well, then it's not going to do a very good job either of the kinuach. V'hilchsa bar halacha l'maisa, in terms of what you can actually clean out your mouth with, is b'kol mili havi kinuach. You can clean out your mouth with anything, bar mikamcha tamri v'yarka, with the exception of you can't use flour, you can't use dates, and you can't use vegetables. But everything else can affect kinuach. Fine, period. How much time should a person wait after eating fleishiks before eating milchiks? So Amar Lei V'lo Klum. He says, wait, you don't have to wait at all. There's Nisr in the Torah to eat Basar and Chalav that were cooked together. And Nisr Midrabanan to eat Basar and Chalav together. But who says anything about waiting? You don't have to wait at all. So if you stop listening to the Shir right now, you can be in trouble. So says the Gemara, Eini V'amar Rav Chista, Achal Basar Asar Lechol Gvina, Gvina Mutal Lechol Basar. But didn't Rav Chista say that if you eat meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese? If you eat cheese, you are allowed to eat meat. So it sounds like, obviously, if you eat cheese, you're allowed to eat meat. That means that you're not allowed to eat them together. It means that you're allowed to eat it one after the other. But if you eat meat, it says you're not allowed to eat cheese right afterwards. The conversation must have gone where he asked, how much time do you need after eating cheese before eating meat? And the answer to that was, veloklum, you don't have to wait at all after eating cheese before eating meat. But in terms of after eating meat, how long you have to wait for eating cheese, that there is some time, we just haven't discussed it yet. Gufa, Amar Rav Chista, achal basar, asur lechal gavina. If a person ate meat, it's asur for him to eat cheese. Gavina, mutter lechal basar. If he ate cheese, it's mutter for him to eat meat. Amar Rav Acha bar Yosef, Rav Chista, basar shebein hashinayim mahu. What's the halacha about the meat that's stuck between the teeth? As Rashi says, mi chashiv basar shelo lechal gavina imo ad shiitlenu. If a person has meat stuck in between their teeth, is that considered that you're eating, if you eat cheese while meat is still stuck between your teeth, is it still considered meat in the sense that it's going to be usher to eat cheese and while the meat is stuck between your teeth? So Kari Alei said about him, habasar odenu beina shineihem, that the basar is still in between the teeth, and Rashi says, alma mikri basar. What we see from there is, when it's beina shineihem, when it's still in between the teeth, we call it habasar still. It's still called basar. So you have to remove all the remnants of basar from between the teeth before eating cheese. Amar Mar Ukva, Anola Hamilsa Chala Bar Chamra L'Gabe Abba. So Mar Ukva says, this is one area of halacha where I, in comparison to my father, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine, meaning I'm like spoiled in the sense that I'm not nearly as good as my father is in this area of halacha. Dilu Abba Ki Ava Achol Bisra Inna Lava Achol Gvina Ad L'Machar. Because my father, if he would eat a milchig meal now, he wouldn't eat milchig for 24 hours. He would wait till the same time the next day before eating milchigs. But kihashta means at the same time tomorrow. V'ilu ana b'hasu udasa hudalo achilna. But I just won't eat it in this meal. L'sudasa achrita achilna. Another meal, I would go ahead and eat it. It wouldn't be a problem for me. I would just wait for another meal. So let's stop here for a moment, because there's a lot to discuss on this issue of waiting between fleishigs and milchigs. So first of all, just the Bali Musar point out, Rav Sturmbach writes in his Sefer HaChumash, it's a very strange comment to make, that I'm like Chala Bar Chamra L'Gabe Avua, because my father waits so much longer than I do. What do you mean, my father? So if you want to be a good guy, you want to be as good as your father, so wait longer. Why don't you just do what your father did? So all the Bali Musar point out, Rav Sturmbach points out in his Sefer on Chumash that there are certain chumras that are not appropriate for a person who's not at that madrega. It's not just, okay, you can just be machmir whatever you want. Sometimes a chumra is not appropriate for a person. So you should only be machmir when you're at that madrega. So he wasn't lamenting the fact that he wasn't able to wait 24 hours. If he wanted to wait 24 hours, he could have waited 24 hours. He was lamenting the fact that he wasn't at that level where it made sense for him to wait 24 hours. That's what he was saying, that my father was such a much greater tzaddik than I am. But what is this? So it sounds like Meikra didn't have the Gemara, that you certainly don't have to wait 24 hours, because here you have Marukva saying, I don't do that. What does he do? He waits till su'uda achrita. He waits till the next meal. So what does it mean, till the next meal? So if you look at Tosos writes, lav b'su'udasar shurgil l'asos achas shachas v'achas arvis, does not mean that if he would have fleishik for breakfast, he wouldn't have milchik till dinner time. No. Ela afilu la'alter, msilek ha'shulchan abirich, mutter, delo plug rabbanan. Even right away, he would eat, if he had one meal of fleishik, he would be misalik the shulchan, he would clean off the table, he would bench, and then right away, he would have milchik. That's enough. You don't have to wait longer than that. That is the shita of Tosfos. Now Tosfos also points out that's in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that That washing out the mouth. Tosos on Kuftalim Beis, I think it is, points out for Shem Rabbeinu Tam that you need to that you need to wash out the mouth. That it's not just good enough to go for a different meal, right? B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam Kuftalim Beis, he writes for Rabbeinu Tam of Farish V'chein Halachas Gedolos Da'achol Basar Asur Lechol Gvina Hainu Below Netilu V'Kinuach. That when you eat meat, the fact that you're not allowed to eat milchigs, that just means if you don't wash out your mouth. But if you wash out your mouth, then shari achal, then it's mutter. Achal gvina mutter lechal basar af below netilu v'kinuach. And eating, if you ate cheese, the fact that you're not allowed to eat meat, the fact that you are allowed to eat meat is even without netilu v'kinuach. Umar ukva de lochel ad sudas achriti hainu below netilu v'kinuach inami machmir latzmo hayo. Rabbeinu Tam understands that the fact that Mar Ukva didn't eat till the next meal either was a personal chumra, or he didn't eat till the next meal if he didn't do a kinuach. But if he did a kinuach, he would eat right away at the next meal. So far two shittos in Rishonim. We have Tosos here in Kofei Amid Aleph that says you just need a bench. That's all you need to do. Finish the meal. We have Rabbeinu Tam that says you need to do a netila v'kinuach, and then that's enough. It doesn't even have to be a different meal. You just need a netila v'kinuach. And then you have the Rov Rishonim, the Shittas HaRambam, where the Rambam says that you have to wait 6 hours. The Rambam says that you have to wait, he says, Lashem Kemoshe shows, because that was the typical amount of time. The Rambam in Hilchos Machlokes Surus Parak Tes, Halacha Chaf Ches, writes, Mishachal Basar B'tchila Bein Basar Behema Bein Basar Rov, Lo yochal achrav chalav ad sheyisha beinein kidei shir suda acheres. That you have to wait the amount of time that normally you would wait for another meal. V'hu kimo shei shaos. And that is roughly 6 hours. So, and the Rif paskins this way as well, that you need to wait 6 hours. So in Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen, Peites in Yeredeia, achal basra afilu shel chaya v'of lo yochal gvina achrav ad sheyisha sheish shaos. That you need to wait 6 hours. And Vafilu Msha Kashir im Yesh Basar Bin Eshinaim Sarach La Siro. And Shulchan Aruch adds, and even after you waited 6 hours, if you still have meat between your teeth, you should remove the meat from between your teeth based on the Gemara that a Basar Odenu Bin Eshinaim, meat between the teeth, is still called meat. So you need to wait 6 hours. The Ramah, however, says that Im Matza Acharkach Basar Shabin Eshinaim Masiro Sarach La Diach Piv Kodim Shir Chol Gvina. If you do find meat between your teeth and you take it out, you should still then rinse out your mouth. But then he writes, "V'yeshomrim de'ain srichel lahamtin sheishaos rak miyadim sileku birach birach samozim mutzali dekinuach v'adacha." He quotes the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that all you need to do is kinuach v'adacha, bench, and that's it. You don't need to wait 6 hours. But he writes, "V'aminik ha'pashah b'medinas elu lahamtin achar achilas habasar sha'a achas." He says, but our minhag Rama writes is to wait 1 hour, and then we eat gvina after waiting 1 hour. So where did that one come from? That didn't appear in any of the Rishonim that we saw. So in the Biragra, he points out that it's a Zohar. The Zohar says that in the same hour that you're not allowed, that you eat meat, you're not supposed to eat milchigs. So it means that you should wait 1 hour. However, even the Rama says the Shach points out that anyone who has a reach haTorah should wait 6 hours, because the Rama himself says Yesh medaktikim lahamtin sheishos achar achilas basar legvina v'chein ochal nasos. The Rama says it's appropriate to do to wait 6 hours, and the Shach says anyone who has a reach haTorah should in fact wait 6 hours. So what are the various minhagim that we're by the way, Krasi Uplasi understands that the Gra isn't really talking about that when he says about the Zohar within the same hour. But okay, but what are the various minhagim? So Shulchan Aruch, the Rama's recommendation, the Shach's recommendation, waiting 6 hours, that's what most of Klal Yisrael does, one would imagine. Where does 1 hour come from? We know as the Dutch minhag. Well, the Rama says, Kein nispashe la minhag. That's what the Rama assumed was the minhag pashut in his time, was to wait 1 hour. Where does 3 hours come from? So there is your Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Darkei Tshuva quotes, where Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Darkei Tshuva suggests that Bein Su'uda L'Su'uda, Marukva said from one meal to the next, when would they have their meals? So Darkei Tshuva explains that when the days were shorter in the wintertime, they would have meals much closer together, because they would always eat during daylight hours, they would go to sleep when it gets dark. So if the meals were closer together during wintertime, the closest they would have their meals together would be 3 hours. So obviously, the halacha is not going to change from wintertime to summertime, so if that's how long they waited between between in the winter time, then that's how long you need to wait in the summertime as well. That could be where the idea of 3 hours comes from. What about 5 plus hours? A lot of people keep 5 and a little bit. So where does 5 and a little bit come from? So if you remember when I read the Rambam a moment ago, he writes kimo sheishaos. He doesn't say 6 hours exactly. He says you should wait about 6 hours. The Meiri has a lashon sheishaos okarovlo. 6 hours or something close to it. So Rav Vadi Yosef writes in a tshuva that the logic for that idea is that, see if I can find it, yeah, in Yabi Omer, Yoredei Chelik Aleph, Simon Samuk Dalid, he says, Lule d'mistafina have amina, he says, if I weren't afraid, I would tell you, Shim chas mi sheshaos pachos mi chatzisha mutraf l'gadolim, that if you wait, you know, 5 and a half plus a little bit, he doesn't think 5 plus a little bit, 5 and a half, 5 hours, 31 minutes, something like that, that would be good enough, because the Rambam says, Kemosh they didn't have clocks in the days of the Rishonim. So obviously the way they would figure it out was they'd estimate roughly 6 hours. So if it's 5 hours and 40 minutes, you know, you would usually estimate that to be about 6 hours. So within a Chatzi Shah, that's always called Samuch, Rav Vadia writes in all of Shas, we always call Samuch, like at the beginning of the last paragraph of Masechet Pesachim, Samuch L'mincha means a half hour before Mincha, so Samuch always means a half hour, so it's close, but when you're measuring based on Umdana, it's within a half hour, so he says, I would think even for Gedolim, you could be Mekil if you wait 5 and a half plus hours, at least with chicken, he says, yeah, at least with Basar Midrabanan, like Basar Of. So that's where that minhag potentially comes from. I think they say in the name of Rav Aaron Cutler, that Rav Aaron Cutler held that the Rambam meant 5 plus, that you don't have to wait the full 6. Now, obviously, there are some exceptions. If somebody is sick, the Aruch HaShulchan says, then you can rely on the most lenient Rishonim. If a person is sick, they used to say, recommend for a person who has an ulcer to drink, what was it, warm milk, I think they would say, for a person who has an ulcer. So he would need to drink a lot of milk. So for an ill person, they would be makil. Children were a little more Mekel. Shevet Alevi writes that they have a din of a chola shein bo sakana, so we can make like with them like we would be with chola. And the Meiri writes that they digest the food faster, so even though normally you require 6 hours, maybe children digest more quickly, wouldn't need 6 hours. Now, what's the reason for the waiting period? So the Torah writes that the meat is fatty and leaves a residue in the mouth, and that's why you need to wait 6 hours. The Rambam says that it's because of basar ben Shinayim, because the meat, we assume, stays stuck between the teeth, and you're not going to be able to get it all out till after 6 hours, when your saliva erodes it, or things move around in your mouth enough, and then ultimately the basar comes out from in between the teeth. So in light of those two possibilities, it's a little bit difficult to understand why digestion matters, why the Meiri emphasizes that children digest food more quickly. What difference does it make if they digest food more quickly? It doesn't seem to affect the fattiness of the meat, nor the Basar Bein HaShinayim. I always thought, you know, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a minhag that we have to observe, that a woman on her, the day of her tevilah, the day she goes to a mikvah, is not allowed to eat meat. It shouldn't eat meat the entire day, because the meat gets stuck between the teeth, it's going to be a chatzitza. So I heard Rabbi Neuberger say once that he heard from Gedolim Imenu, he says he heard from people greater than himself, that if you eat chicken, that's okay. That you're not allowed to eat meat, but you could eat chicken. And I looked around all the Sfarim, no Sefer says it. Every printed Sefer says that you're not allowed to eat meat, hu adin l'chicken, you're not allowed to eat chicken either on the day of the Tevilah. And I thought that a good raya that you're not allowed to eat chicken on the day of the Tevilah is because the reason that for that minhag is because basar ben hashinayim, is because we're afraid something's going to get stuck between your teeth. The reason for the minhag of waiting 6 hours, according to the Rambam, is basar ben hashinayim. And we're all no wake to wait 6 hours after eating chicken as well. So I thought it's a pretty strong raya that lechori you should have to wait on the day of tevila even after eating chicken as well. Okay, that's the halachos of waiting waiting after. There's also a discussion in the Aruch HaShulchan, the Kavachayim, the Badei HaShulchan, when the clock starts. Does the clock start on the 6 hours from the beginning of your meal, the end of your meal, when you finish eating meat? So I think we generally assume it's when you finish eating meat, even if your meal isn't completely over. We're we're certainly not makel to start the clock at the beginning of the meal. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Shmuel, and once we mentioned one person saying that he is like vinegar, the son of wine, in comparison to his father. So Amar Shmuel says, Ana lahamil sachal b'chamer l'gabei abba. I, in regard to a different matter, am like vinegar, the son of wine, in that I'm not as careful as my father. Dilu abba v'sayir nichsei trezim nibiyoma v'anolai seyar nalachadizim. My father would always check his properties twice a day to see what was doing and making sure that everything was going okay, so to protect his assets. And I only go once a day. Shmuel etaymei, Damar Shmuel, man desayir nichsei kol yoma mishka chastira. And Shmuel says, if you check every single day, you're going to find you'll find money. Meaning you'll be saving yourself a lot of money. That if you want to protect your investments, you should really check up on them and shouldn't just leave it unattended. Abaya, right? Remember we had a Gemara a while back that if a person a skula to become poor is to hire people to work and not look at what they're doing and not check up on them. So that's a good skula to become poor. So you invest in a field, a skula to make it work. Skula, you know, there's a valuable skula, magical skula, is to actually follow up and make sure that the field is being protected and being worked on properly. Abaya v'sayir nichsei kol yom v'yom. Abaya would check his field every day. Yom echad paga barisei didari pischa dofei. One day he sees a worker of his schlepping a whole pile of wood off of his field. So Amalei, hani lehecha. Abaya says, where are you going with all my wood? What are you doing? Amalei lebei mari. He says, oh, I'm bringing them to your house. So Amalei kvar kadmucha rabban. He says, nice try. The rabbi's already outsmarted you by telling me to check my field every day. I'm checking up on you. I caught you red-handed. You were obviously trying to steal my wood. Rav Asi avasayir nichsei kol yoma. Rav Asi would check his field every day. Amar hechaninu kolani astiri demar Shmuel. And he said, where are all these this money that I'm supposed to be saving by checking my field every day that Shmuel told me about? I don't see anything. I'm not helped at all by this. I've never saved a penny by doing this. I never caught anything. One day he saw a cracked pipe by his field where the water was going to overflow and flood out the whole field. So he took off his jacket, he rolled it up and he dammed it up, he blocked off the where the water was coming. And he screamed out, other people came and helped him dam up the area. And he says, ah, now I got all of the benefits that Shmuel told me about. I finally reaped the benefits of what he said I would get from the field. Just one more thing I forgot to mention with the waiting between Milchiks and Fleishiks. Rav Salvechik in Shiurei Arav and Simon Nun Tes, we started to discuss yesterday, discusses the Chakira, when we know the halacha is, if you have Basar and Chalav that are mixed together, that are cooked together, it becomes a Cheftza Shalisr. Chaticha Nasas Nevela. It becomes a Cheftza Shalisr. But a Chakira in the Rishonim, he formulates Chakira and plugs it into Machlok's Rishonim, whether the Isser to eat meat and then eat milchigs is also an isser cheftza, that we assume that if there's still meat in your mouth, the milchigs is going to mix around with that meat and it's going to all get mixed together, create a cheftza shel isser, or it's just a harchaka bi'alma niyug ha-gavra. It's a thing that the Rabbanan made a din on the gavra that you shouldn't eat one after the other, but it's not a din of the cheftza shel isser. So Rav Salvechik uses this to explain the machlokas rishonim about how long you have to wait between the milchigs and fleishigs. That he writes that the Rambam and Tosos go to Shitasam. Tosos holds that since there's an Isser to eat Gvina Achar Basar, is only the whole Isser is a Harchaka B'Alma, it's a din in the Gavra, so it's good enough to just to do any sort of Hefsik Alpi Din between the two of them. You bench and that's good enough. You don't need to actually do anything that will physically change anything, because it's not an Isser of the physical Metzius of the Basar and Chalav, it's just a din in the Niyuk HaGavra. So you need to do something to show a break, that you're breaking between the Fleishigs and the Milchigs. The Rambam holds that the Isser to eat Gvina Achar Basar is a chashash that they're going to be balea from each other, and it's going to be a cheftza shel Isser. So the Rambam says you got to wait 6 hours in order to make sure that there's no blios, that there's no mixing of the two. So the Rambam's l'shitaso that it's a cheftza shel Isser. Rabbeinu Tam is a little bit difficult. That the Rabbeinu Tam says that you do kinuach v'adacha, or su'uda acheres, even without kinuach v'adacha, which Rabbeinu Tam makes it sound like su'uda acheres would mean without waiting at all. So kinuach v'adacha makes it sound like you actually have to physically wipe away any remnants of the meat, which sounds more like the Rambam, that it's did in the cheftza shel isser. You don't want it mixing together. But then saying that you can wait till the next su'uda makes it sound more like the Balei HaTosvos, that it's not a din in cheftza shel isser, it's just a niyug in the gavra. So Rav Salvechik says Rabbeinu Tam is probably going like the Balei HaTosfos, that it's din the Gavra. Kinuach V'adach is not to physically wipe away the Basa. The purpose of the Kinuach V'adach is to do a Maisa where you're showing that this is a siluk from that meal, that I'm leaving aside that meal. That's all the Kinuach V'adach is really meant to accomplish. Anyway, that's where Rav Soloveitchik explains that Machlokas related to what we were discussing yesterday. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now we get into Mayim Achronim. Amar Rav Yidi Bar Avin, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashion. Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah. To wash Mayim, to wash before a meal is a mitzvah. V'achronim Chova. To wash after a meal is a Chova. What's the reason between Chova and a mitzvah? Rashi says Chova is Adifa mi mitzvah. That Chova is even stronger than a mitzvah. Tosus also says the Mayim Afkamina Dar Rishonim Mitzvah Achronim Chova. Mali Mitzvah Mali Chova. To Ravai Chova Kedikarim Brais of Lo Rishus. What difference does it make whether you call something Chova or a mitzvah? So Tosus also bothered by this Kasha. Tosus quotes a couple of answers, but he suggests Ba'alachas Gedolos Pirish to Rishonim She Mitzvah Mishum Srach Truma Tunin Bracha. Mitzvah is because of a halachic reason that you have to do it, and therefore requires a bracha. Achronim Shem Lutzoruch Adam Mishum Melk Sodomis Ain Tunin Bracha. But Mayim Achronim is not for a halachic reason, it's for a practical reason, to get the Melk Sodomis off of your fingers so you don't endanger yourself. So since it's for a practical reason, it does not require a bracha. So then there's an addition in Tosus, according to the marginal note, it's not really Midivri Atosis, but he writes, Mikan Kosov Rabbeinu Yehuda, Perek Bam Madlikin, Betosefta She'in Levarich al Kriya Shema Shalaf Nemi Toso. He says that's why there's no Birchsa Mitzvah on Kriya Shema, Kriya Shema Alamita, because Kriya Shema Alamita is just to protect us from Mazikin. It's for a practical benefit. Anything for a practical benefit wouldn't get a bracha. Regular Kriya Shema, well, there's no Birchsa Mitzvah, but that's only because it's already said in the context of brachos, and we know the rule is whenever you do a mitzvah within the context of brachos, you don't make a separate birchas mitzvah on it. That's what the Abadram writes. That's why we don't make a birchas mitzvah on regular kriyashma, even though that's purely for halachic reasons, but that's already covered by the birchos kriyashma. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, Meisvei, Mayim Rishonim Achronim Chova, Em Tzoyim Rishus. Aye, but we have another Brice that says, Mayim Rishonim and Achronim are both Chova. So it says, Mitzvah Legabi Rishus, Chova Karila. Yeah, in comparison to Mayim Em Tzoyim, which is only Rishus, Em Tzoyim would mean in between eating milchiks and fleishiks. So Mitzvah Legabi Rishus is called a Chova. When you compare a Mitzvah to a Rishus, so it rises to the level of Chova. Gufa, Mayim Rishonim Achronim Chova, Em Tzoyim Rishus. Mayim Rishonim and Achronim are Chova, Emtzayim is Rishus. Rishonim notem bein mekli bein al gabe karka. Mayim Rishonim, you could wash, the water can fall either into a kli or onto the ground, doesn't make a difference. Achronim ain notem el bekli, but Mayim Achronim, you can only wash into a kli. Vamila ain notem al gabe karka. And others say, it's not that you have to wash into a kli, it's that you can't wash onto the karka. May benai, what's the nafgamina between you must wash into a kli or you can't wash onto the karka? Don't they mean the same thing? No, you can benai kinsa. What if you wash on a bunch of wood chips, where it's going to be on the karka, it's not going to sit on the karka, but it's also not into a kli, so that would be the nafkamina. Mayim Rishonim notem bein mecham bein mitzonin. Mayim Rishonim, you could use warm or cold water. Achronim ein notem el mitzonin. Mayim Achronim, you can only use cold water. Mnei shecham mefapin asiyadayim vein ma'avir nesazuama. Because warm water just soften your hands and cause the grease to become more embedded in your hands. It doesn't wash it off. Cold water washes it off. So Mayim Rishonim notem bein mecham bein mitzonin. We said that you're allowed to wash Mayim Rishonim with warm or cold water. Am Rav Yisrael Yosef and Rav Yani lo shonu el she'in hayad saledespe. That's only if the water is not yad saledespe, if it's not hot enough that you would remove your hand because of the heat. Aval yad saledespe ain notem ben. But if it's already yad saledespe, then you're not supposed to use it. V'ikad debachs na'asefa. Some learned this din of yad saledespe in regards to what we said about Mayim Achronim, that Achronim ain notem el betzonim v'cham lo, that you're only allowed to wash with cold water, Mayim Achronim, not with warm water. What's the definition of warm? I'm Rabbi somebody else, Rabbi Yani, Lashon Lashi Yad Saledes Ben. Warm water that's usher is only if it's Yad Saledes Bo water. Avalena Yad Saledes Ben, Notlin. But if the water is cooler than Yad Saledes Bo, then you're allowed to use it for Mayim Achronim. Mechlal, now if we learn it on the Sefer, that would imply the Rishonim, Aval Pisha Yad Saledes Ben Mutter. If we say that you're allowed to use warm and cold for Mayim Rishonim, and only cold for Mayim Achronim, and the definition of cold is anything under Yad Saledes, so that would strongly imply that for Mayim Rishonim you're even allowed to use Yad Saledes Bo waters. So that's the difference between whether you learn it in connection to this din of Yad Saledes Bo in connection to the Reisha or in connection to the Seifa. And Tzoyim Rishus, the middle waters are Rishus, It's only between two cooked items. But between a cooked meat food and cheese, then chova. Then it becomes an absolute chiyuv. Why is it that we have a chiyuv of mayim achronim? Because people have melech sedomis that's on their hands that could blind the eyes. If you leave it on the hands, so you need to wash it off the hands. Amar Abayi mishtachach bekurta bekura. So Abayi says you could find usually a quarta worth of melech sedomis in a core of salt. It's still prevalent in small measure. In large amounts of salt, you find small measures of melech sedomis. Amar Ravach b'Rei Rav LeRavashi. Kal malcha mai. What if a person measured out salt? Does he have to do an atilas yadayim to wash it off? Amalei lo mi bayis. Nah, in that situation you don't need to do it. So what's the halacha? Do we have to wash mayim achronim? So Shulchan Aruch and Simkuf pei aleph in Orach Chaim writes mayim achronim chova. Sif aleph he starts out with there is a chiv to do mayim achronim, and Mishnah Berurah points out why. So he gives two reasons. Number one, he says, "Shayadayim is ohamal sein mina achila," that your hands become greasy from eating, and you're not allowed to make a bracha with greasy hands based on the pasuk, "Viskadashtem v'isim kadoshim." It's Gemara in Brachos, darshens the pasuk, that "Viskadashtem is mayim rishonim, v'isim kadoshim is mayim achronim." With greasy hands, you're not supposed to make a bracha. And the other reason is melech sedomis. So he says, so mayim achronim is a chover for those reasons. But then at the very end of the simon, in Sif Yud of Simon Kof Pei Aleph, he writes, Yesh she'ein no'agim litol mayim achronim. That there are those that don't have a minhag of washing mayim achronim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over there, why not? Because we don't have melech sedomis around anymore. And what about the fact that yadayim is uhamos, that our hands are greasy? He says, since nowadays everyone walks around with greasy hands, no one's makbid to wash their hands anyway, so it's not considered a chisarn v'isam kadoshim to have greasy hands. It all depends on societal norms. Now you would say that no one walks around with greasy hands, but now the societal norm is that people use a fork and knife or napkins, and by the end of the meal, their hands are not hopefully full of grease and grime, and therefore there would be no chiyuv of mayim achronim. Nevertheless, all the mekubalim, Mishnah Berurah writes, the Magen Avraham writes, in the name of the mekubalim, kol adam yizar mayim achronim. The mekubalim are very machmir about mayim achronim. The Birka Yosef is extremely machmir about mayim achronim. Birka Yosef has a line. I forgot exactly. He has a very strong line. Birka Yosef. I forgot his line already. I had it here somewhere. I can't find it now. But he has an extremely strong line. Oh, yeah, he writes in the name of his grandfather that a mekel b'mayim achronim mekilun lo yama v'shnosav. That a person who's mekel with mayim achronim, Kodesh Baruch Hu's going to be mekel with his lifespan. So very, very machmir about mayim achronim. Now, Tosus over here in Kufay Amid Aleph quotes this Gemara in Brachos v'skadashim v'isim kadoshim to refer to mayim achronim. He says that's an asmachta bi'alma. It's not the real reason. The real reason is melech sedomis. And nowadays you don't have melech sedomis, so he says it doesn't. You don't need to do mayim achronim anymore when you don't have melech sedomis. So that's the sheet of Tosfos. Okay, so that's the issue of mayim achronim. Let's see the Gemara Vaita now. Let's try to finish up here. The Gemara now quotes 8 different things that Abaye knew that people were knowing to do, but always thought it was for one reason, and then it turned out it was for a different reason entirely. On almost all of these 8 things, if not all of them, the reason that Abaye originally thought was a rational, down-to-earth kind of reason, and the reason that people really did it in the end was because of a demon or because of some shade or some sort of something a little more spooky. You know, something a little more spiritual, not just a down-to-earth practical reason. I don't know if there's a message in that of what really motivates people to do things. Like someone saw Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky once walked into a shul and he saw everyone right after Maariv on Matzai Shabbos. Everyone was saying V'yitin Lecha. So he said, wow, must be that they heard it's a school for Ashiros or something. And it turns out, yeah, they talk of that someone had given a speech in that shul that said it's a school for Ashiros. Not because they wanted to spend a little extra time escorting the Shabbos Malka properly. That's not what motivates people. You know, something more spiritual, school does motivate people a little more. So anyway, so there's going to be a lot about Shadim over here. In general, Rambam writes that that Shadim don't exist, that there's no such thing as Shadim, which is against many Gemaras. The Gemaras are explicit about Shadim all over Shas. You have Shadim. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Nemes Yaakov, says, yeah, it's not a machlokas. There was once such a thing as Shadim, but there's this rule in the world that whenever you have positive spiritual forces, there are negative spiritual forces forces to balance it out. So in an age where you have Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, you're also going to have Shadim and things like that to balance it out. Nowadays, we don't have Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, mainly we don't have Shadim either, because things have to, there's this cosmic balance that has to be maintained. That's why Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky understands that the Rambam is not against all the Gemaras. Okay, last skinny line. Amar Abaye, Meresha Avamina Haidelo Mashu Maya Basra Yalara Mishum Zuama. He says, I used to think that the reason people didn't wash their hands right on the ground is because it's dirty and it's disgusting. But then I was told that no, it's because there's a ruach ra, there's some evil spirit on the water, and that's why people don't do it. Vam Rabbi, second one, the second hanhaga that Abaye noticed. Mereshav mina haydelo shakel midi mi patura ki nakit inish. Says, I used to think the reason people don't remove things from the table during a meal while somebody is drinking is because the person drinking might think you're stealing all their food and they're going to choke. So they don't want. So you're not supposed to remove something from the table while he's drinking. But then I found out it was because of some sort of demon. But that's only if you take it and don't return it. But if you return it, it's not a problem. It's also only a problem if you remove it at least 4 amos away from the table, but if you leave it within 4 amos of the table, it's no problem. It's also only a problem when it's something that's not needed for the meal, but if it's something that's needed, when it's something that's needed for the meal, but if it's something that's not needed for the meal, it's no problem. Marbar Avashi kapita filua asiso buchna ditavli. Marbar Avashi was makbid even on removing the mortar and pestle for the spices, midi ditzrichlu sudasa, because they are needed for the meal sometimes. Fine. Third hanhaga that Abaye noticed. I used to think that the reason people would clean up the crumbs under the table is because they wanted to clean up the house for cleanliness. But no, God forbid, that wasn't the reason. No, it's because it's bad for being poor. It's a bad segula that you're going to be poor if you don't clean up your house. There is some relationship between cleanliness and being poor. The Gemara Pesachim Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis says that the sar of anius is naval shemei, sar shel ashirus is nakid shemei. It's no accident that the malach over anius is called disgusting, and the malach over ashirus is called cleanliness. Cleanliness is associated with ashirus. Shirus Tosa Rush in Masech Sanhedrin, Dav Chafam Lalf writes that when the house is clean and the bed is made, Ein Sar Anius Shochin Sham. The Sar Anius has no power over such a house. So cleanliness, Chazal, we're very into. Hu Gavr Dav Mahadar Alei Sharadan Yusa, Sharadan Yusa, Vlava Yachalei, the Kazayra Nashvara Tuva. There was a guy that the Sar of Anius was always after him, but he was never able to get him because he was very careful about cleaning up the crumbs under his table. Yomachad Karach Rif. He changes it to on the side, Ivli. One day he was eating bread over grass. Amr Hashavadinaf will be a day. So the Sar of Anius says, okay, now I'll for sure get him. He's eating over grass. There's no way he's going to be able to clean up the crumbs. After the meal, he took a shovel, dug up all the grass that he ate over, and threw it all into the river to clean up the crumbs. And he heard the Sar of Anius screaming out, ah, the guy beat me again. I keep losing to him. The fourth hanhaga that Abaye noticed. I used to think the reason people don't drink the foam from the top of beverages is because it's disgusting. But then I heard that no, it's because it can make you sick. Mishti akasha lekarsim. If you drink from it's bad for it can make you sick. A karsim type of illness, whatever illness that is. Minfach be kasha lereisha. If you blow on it, it's bad for your head. Midchi akasha lanyusa. If you push it with your fingers, it's bad for being an ani. Maita kante. So what do you do to solve the problem? Leshake shikue. You should just wait till the foam dies down. Lekarsim dechamra shichra. If the way to solve the fact that a person is ill from drinking the foam on top of wine is by drinking beer. De shikra, maya. The way to solve the problem from drinking beer is by drinking water. De maya less de takant. If you drink the foam on top of water, well, then there's no takana. Vahainu damri inchi basra niya azlani yusa. And that's what people say, that poverty follows poor people. Because if you can only afford water and you drink the foam from on top of water, then there's no way to solve the illness that results. Fifth anhaga of Abaye, Amar Abaye, Mereshava min haydelo achli yarka mikisha dasa ginaha. I used to think the reason people didn't eat from bundles that the gardeners would, when they would take from the garden, would bundle up is mishum de nechzi kraftenusa, because it looks like you're gluttonous. Amali mar mishum de kashi luk shavim. But then I found out that no, it subjects you to kishuv. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna Bekazi Barva, they were once walking. Amalu ahim atunisa osvim ba'adaychu. They were going on a boat. They were about to take a boat trip, and a woman wanted to go to get a seat with them. Lo asvu, and they didn't want to take her on the boat. Amra milsa sarta la'arba. So she said some incantation through kishuv that stopped the boat in its tracks. Amru inu milsa sharyua. So they said something that allowed the boat to go again. So Rashi says, yeah, they did kishuv, that you're allowed to do kishuv to undo somebody else's kishuv. So they said something that allowed the boat to go again. So Amru lehu, mai yavu lechu delo mekaneach lechu b'chaspa velo katu lechu kina manaychu velo chlu yarku mechisha dasugina. And she said, ah, I'm never going to be able to get them with kishuv because they don't do the things that make a person susceptible to kishuv. What are those things? They don't wipe themselves with a shard. They don't kill bugs on their garments, and they don't eat vegetables that are bundled together by the gardener. So for all those reasons, they're never going to be susceptible to kishuv. Okay, we didn't get through everything. We got through the first five of the hanhagos. Rabbi, you notice, Mir Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with numbers 6, 7, and 8.